Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And as you're getting settled, if you would turn to Mark chapter 1. It was just read in the center a moment ago. Mark chapter 1. So this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, his preaching and teaching and going around all these different places. It's the beginning of his public ministry. And thinking about the beginning of his ministry got me thinking about the beginning of mine. His initial preaching went a little bit differently than mine. His message laid out who he is and what he came to do as the promised Messiah, as God himself, God incarnate. He is revealed, to use the language we're using in our series, he is revealed as the Messiah to follow in his opening message. Let's just say that for me, when I look back at some of my early sermons, I have the written text because I keep stuff like that, but thankfully there is no video. But the written text, let alone the delivery, was, well, not something I would want to repeat, and it's not something you want me to repeat either. And so I can relate to the author and pastor Tim Keller, who wrote in the dedication of his book on preaching. He wrote, "To the members of West Hopewell Presbyterian Church who called me preacher even as I was stumbling to learn how to be one." I feel like I can relate to that. And I certainly would not want my first sermons to set the tone for my whole ministry and calling, which includes being a preacher. But here is Jesus, and this is his initial message. This is specifically and intentionally pointing to the whole of what his ministry is about as God incarnate coming into the world. It's wrapped up and summarized in this, in his message and call. Jesus is revealed as the Messiah that we are to follow. And so together we're going to look at Mark 1, and we're going to kind of frame it around the two words of this is the Messiah's message and the Messiah's call. Jesus the Messiah, his message and his call. And so first, the Messiah's message. Look at verse 15, right at the beginning. Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." Kingdom, repent, believe. We're going to look at that in the opposite order. But believe. This is the Messiah's message. To believe in the gospel. To put your faith in. To trust in. To consciously, personally believe the message of the Messiah. To believe Jesus' message. There are far too many who have been expected to believe, but never really did. Those who through family or cultural expectations were pressured to be baptized or confirmed or pressured to become church members in a way that led them not to faith but mere outward displays. I have led multiple people through a new membership process over the years in multiple different churches, and we thought we were making really good progress with them, and then they made the membership commitments and then disappeared and wouldn't reach out to us, and I found out only made the membership commitments to please an aging mother. Outward display, but not real inward belief and heart change. Now, some of these things we do and should guide our children into, like making certain decisions for them, like baptizing young children, but far too often we assume that getting people through certain ritual steps is enough. We must personally believe and put our faith in and our trust in and consciously believe the truth of Jesus. But if people show up, behave, and give, we tend to assume that they believe and don't want to challenge them. Well, Jesus says to us, he says to you, that you must believe the gospel. Believe in the truth of God's goodness to us in Jesus, as revealed in his scripture, that Jesus really did die and rise again for our sins. Trust in Jesus' life and death and resurrection as being God's way of salvation for you, and there is no other. You need to believe that. Every chair in the room and online, every one of us needs to believe personally in Jesus. believe and trust in Jesus, that he is the Messiah, the promised one of God, promised king who will come and set the world right. And without that personal belief, then we have not responded in the necessary way to the Messiah's message. The Messiah's message, Jesus' message, is to believe. Repent. The time is fulfilled, Jesus says. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. To repent means to humbly acknowledge sin and wrongdoing, to lay it down and to turn away from it and live a new life. Now, our culture here in the West has, on the whole, a very shallow understanding of repentance. As one person put it, the call to repent has been heard so many times before that we've had enough inoculations to keep us from getting the real thing. We've heard it too many times to let it sink down deeply in our hearts. And so if you are a Christian and you've heard this many, many times, if you are a brand new follower of the Lord, if you're not sure about all of this and you're just testing the waters, you've probably heard the word and connected it enough to church that it may well go in one ear and out the other, or just roll on by as an irrelevant churchy word. Or if we know what it means, we may not take it very seriously as actually being important for us. In Auden's book titled For the Time Being, the character of King Herod in the book says, "I like committing crimes. God likes forgiving them. Really, the world is admirably arranged." Or as a pastor was telling me this morning, working with someone on their deathbed, their response, "I don't need to accept the Lord. God will forgive me. He likes doing that. That's his job." That's not repentance. And let us not be inoculated to the message of the Messiah. Repentance means making a U-turn away from sin. It's changing not just behavior, but a whole life. It's altering not just an action here or there, but the total direction of our lives. It doesn't just mean stop doing that on the internet. It means redirecting how you love your spouse and your children and your friends. It doesn't just mean stop gossiping. It means totally redirect how you value and protect the dignity of others. Jesus says the kingdom of God is here. Redirect your whole life to live in his kingdom. Repent and believe the gospel. The Messiah's message, Jesus' message, is to repent. Kingdom. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The hour has come. The center of all time is upon us because Jesus, God's Messiah, has come. God's kingdom has broken into the world, and we must truly believe the good news of Jesus, and that includes true repentance from sin and the life change that comes with it, because God's kingdom has come into our world, and to live as citizens of his kingdom involves living his life, because it's his kingdom. That's why we call him Lord and King. It's his kingdom, his dominion. He is the one that's in charge, not us. But that's not easy for us to accept. A man I know was teaching his young daughter the Lord's Prayer. And we pray that in every service here. It's the one that goes, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Well, there are some big and very traditional type words in that prayer, things like hallowed and trespasses. And so teaching this young girl, who was probably about 4 years old, it is important to teach children things even when they can't yet understand them, because learning it, it becomes part of us, and then we learn to fill in the gaps as we get older. That's an important thing for us to do. We do that with all sorts of other things. Think like the Pledge of Allegiance. We teach people and then we teach them what it means, so that's fine. Well, this little girl, not knowing all of the big words, started inadvertently substituting words she knew for the words she didn't know, because she didn't know the words, so when they used those words, she just kind of heard words she knew, without, of course, knowing she was doing that. And so she was overheard to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be my name. My kingdom come. My will be done. Not thy, my." But she substituted, "This is about me." And she actually thought that's what she was supposed to be saying. The reality is that may very well be the way we all want to pray. And based on the way we sometimes live, that actually may be the true prayer of our hearts, unless the Holy Spirit changes our hearts and we repent and believe. And God is saying that His kingdom has come in Jesus, and that demands a response from us. This is His message. This is the message of the Messiah, and it requires a response. And so the very next thing we see is the Messiah's call. The Messiah's call. So verse 17, Jesus sees these young men who, according to other accounts from the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John, had actually been listening to Jesus, and they had start to believe that He really was the promised one that God had sent, the Messiah. They didn't understand yet really what that all meant, but they were interested in Him. And then verse 17, Jesus sees them away from the crowds and says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Come follow me," He says, "and I will turn you into fishermen who catch people." And immediately, they drop everything and follow Him. Messiah's call, Jesus' call, is to come and follow Him. When Jesus calls, we need to follow Him closely. And the call for them was to join His inner band. Not the average listener or a member of the fickle crowd, but as a close disciple who would join Him everywhere He went. Now, I've had teachers in like college and seminary who were so excellent that I took everything that I could possibly take from them. If Dr. Hall was teaching it, I was going to be in the class if at all possible. This does not, what I did, it doesn't even come close to the following that He was calling them to. The closest thing that I can think of in our culture is the way certain members of a politician's staff are so committed to that politician that they will go with him or her to any level of government they reach. If you know the TV show The West Wing, this is the president and his staff, that would go with him anywhere. People are so attached to him that they would go with him no matter where he went. It's not exactly the same thing, but the kind of following that Jesus is calling them to is probably a lot closer to that than coming to church a couple times a month. That's what Jesus is calling His people to. The Messiah's call is to follow, and to follow closely, and to be fully committed, continually growing in Jesus more. The Messiah's call is to follow Him. And the Messiah's call is to then follow Him and become, as He says, fishers of people. It's a little odd, but calling them to become fishers of people. Come follow me, and I will make you into fishermen who fish for people. Now, they were fishermen, so there's a play on words here, but I think there's also something much deeper going on than just a play on words. Because God's people are called to mission. This is throwing a net out kind of fishing, not casting a single hook into the water. This is casting a net and drawing people together. And so the image is drawing people in mission and sharing the gospel. But there's also in the image in the Bible of fishing for people, that's actually an allusion to other places in the Bible. In the Old Testament prophets, as well as at least one of Jesus' own parables, God's people fishing for others is connected to God's judgment. Gathering people in so God can sort them out. Sort of when a fisherman catches a fish, there are serious consequences for the fish. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that God's transformation comes through death with the promise of new life. We're buried with our Lord in baptism and raised to new life with Him. And the message with which we as Christians are entrusted is one that brings life. And it also cuts to the soul of people as God's Spirit convicts and judges our sin. Fishing has serious consequences for the fish. And we who accept Jesus' message and call are accepting a message that will change our life beyond recognition. Death to life. The call of discipleship, the call to follow, is a call to change and not remain the same. And the message that we are entrusted with is not always popular with the fish gathered. The message and the work that we are given to do is not always popular. That's never an excuse to do it harshly. We always share the truth of Jesus with love and compassion in true care for sinners like us. And we also see from the very beginning of the church, Jesus' followers are told that they will be doing something that is not always going to be popular and bring them favor. So today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And we are reminded today, hopefully reminded all throughout the year, but especially today, that all human life is sacred and made in the image of God. All human life, from conception to natural death and everything in between, is made in God's image and must be honored and valued. We as a church and we as a denomination are pro-life. And as you well know, that is not popular in major parts of our culture. And being pro-life has implications on our stance and our practice related to abortion. Being pro-life moves us with compassion to be involved in foster care. It stirs us to care about those in nursing homes and prisons. It makes us welcome those experiencing homelessness. It makes us care deeply about refugees and immigrants. It makes us care about those condemned to die by our justice system. And these stances and views are not going to be popular in every circle. And yet, as Jesus' people who value the dignity and sanctity of all human lives made in God's image, we share the truth, we serve in ministries of compassion, and we love and welcome those that others will not. And so let us not water down Jesus' language of fishing for people into just a general view of doing mission work. The work they are called to do is gathering. And then God does some sorting. And people are given the opportunity to respond to Jesus, and not everyone does. And some of them kill him. So we should not be surprised that the message of the gospel is not always well received. But Jesus, the Messiah, his message, the kingdom is here, repent and believe. And Jesus, the Messiah, his call, follow him and join his mission of fishing for people. Jesus is revealed as the Messiah to follow. He is not the average teacher. He's not one that we can rightly listen to and then just live our lives unchanged. He is God incarnate who lived and died and rose again for us. And he says, God's kingdom is here, so we repent and believe and we follow Jesus. And he will use us to fish for people for salvation in him. The kingdom is here. Repent. Have you repented? Does your life show evidence of that transformation? Believe the gospel. Do you believe? Honestly, personally, truly believe. Follow. Are you following him? Are you living a life of his kingdom? Or merely living an American life and confusing it with the life of Jesus? Are you following Jesus to the poor and the vulnerable and the marginalized? Are you following him in upholding the sanctity of all human lives from conception to natural death? Are you following the Messiah? The call of Jesus is there for each one of us to come and repent and believe and follow Jesus, in whom there is eternal life and nowhere else. And so I ask, and my prayer is that each one of us would hear that call and truly follow. Jesus is revealed to us and to the world as the Messiah to follow. Amen.